Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And man, I've got a good one for you today. We're going to dig into some basic business finance and something I think is just really important to understand when you start to go into business for yourself. So it may sound simple, but I think it's something that's commonly misunderstood, and it's profit. It's and profit and revenue. So some of the basic building blocks of your business, and really the finance of your business is like the bedrock of that. Think of it, I explain it this way. Having like solid financial understanding and accounting is like having a really good offensive line. So if you're a football fan, like you'll know, look, like the offensive linemen, they don't score touchdowns, you know, like they don't make huge plays. They just block, right? But they stop bad things from happening. And you know, oftentimes the best team is the one with the best offensive line. And when you look at the best businesses, they're the ones that have the best organization and tracking of their finances, and they know where their dollars are going or not going. And that can get really challenging as your business gets more complex and bigger, right? So if you can start by understanding some of these basic concepts to begin with, you're going to be in a much, much better place as you continue to scale. And I'll kind of set the stage for this. And again, this just sort of comes back to a conversation that I had both at the mastermind event that we did here in Atlanta, and then afterward via email with one of our members, who in his own right is an incredibly successful entrepreneur. He brought up a really solid point and something that we actually talk about, you know, with our mastermind group, and I'll kind of give you the background for this. So we actually track revenue in our group. We feel like it's important to have something to just kind of shoot for. It's an idea of like gamification of business. And if you have a goal and you're trying to achieve a goal, you have a plan to get there, an accountability group to get there, you're very, very likely to achieve it, right? But if you don't really know what you're shooting for, what's the next step? You don't really know if you're there or not, right? So like, what are these milestones we work towards besides just like, you know, $1 million in revenue in our business, right? That's really far away for many people versus, okay, for us, we want to say, all right, we want people to hit $100,000 in revenue, gross revenue. So let me describe, or I'll tell you the difference here. So gross revenue is what's considered top line revenue. They call it that because basically it's at the top of your what's called P&L, so profit and loss sheet, meaning this is how much revenue you have. Bottom line revenue is net profit, okay? So net revenue or profit is how much money do you have left after all of your expenses. So you have your top line revenue, gross revenue, and then after you deduct all those expenses, what's left at the bottom is your profit or your net revenue. Okay, so that net is essentially what you take home. Now, technically, you'd have to take out what you're paying yourself as well, right? So yeah, if you're paying yourself a salary, that's part of your profit. There's no doubt about that. But once you take that out, what do you have left over is really your net profit, right? So your net that you can then invest back into other things, hire employees, or maybe you already have that, and then it's just what you take home as well, right? So it's all about profitability in businesses. Like in our style of businesses, there's apps or digital e-commerce businesses like Amazon didn't turn a profit for I don't even know how long. I think it was between like 10 and 20 years. And then the reason they did that was because they reinvested everything in growth. So they were valued so high because they had massive growth and they captured a ton of the marketplace. In the process, though, they basically weren't very profitable because every dollar they made, they put back into the business, which is a very aggressive sort of dangerous place to be in your business, but can pay off huge dividends with a business like that with massive scale. When we're talking about cash clinical practices, that's not our business style, right? Like we want to have a profitable business because it supports your life. It replaces your income and hopefully more. And also if you build it correctly, it can give you a lot of time freedom, which is probably more valuable than money, financial freedom. So when we look at these two things, there's a stark difference between those, gross revenue, top line revenue. Let's say you make $250,000 in your business. Like it's somewhat of a vanity number, but it's really easy to track, which is one of the reasons why we track that, right? It's like for us to track profit exclusively, you know, we have to add things back. Maybe you're paying for your gas. Maybe you're paying for your phone bill. It's challenging. It creates a bit of an accounting headache when we just want to know, all right, are you making progress in your business? And for somebody to get from $100,000 to $250,000 in their business, it's really challenging for you to generate $250,000 in revenue with no additional support staff, like no other staff, physical therapists or chiropractors or massage therapists or whatever it might be, or even admin. You can do it with an admin, but you're really busy. You're basically doing all the work. So you don't really have a business. You just have a really profitable job, which is okay too, if that's what you want. So you kind of get to these stages where when you first start out, your gross revenue and your profit are not all that great, right? Let's say you're making $5,000 a month in revenue. You're not really paying yourself a whole lot because you have some expenses in your fixed facility costs. Maybe you have some marketing. I mean, you can go really lean, but even still, like let's say it's $1,000 in overhead, you're paying yourself $4,000 before taxes, right? So like you're paying yourself half basically what you could make working for somebody else, and you're probably still busting your ass and putting a bunch of hours in, right? So you're not real profitable at that point in time. Your gross revenue and your profit are not great. But let's say you're at the point where you're making $10,000 a month in revenue, okay? So maybe you still have that same $1,000 of overhead. So you have $9,000 left over before taxes, and basically, you don't have any employees, just you. So you're paying yourself $9,000 a month before taxes. So your gross revenue is now over $100,000 if that's sort of your run rate. But you know, your profit is pretty good. Like you're paying yourself $9,000 a month. That's a lot pre-tax compared to what a staff, physical therapist makes. Now, let's say you're all the way up to $20,000 a month in revenue, and you probably have, let's call it, $2,000 a month in overhead. So you're bringing home 18. Like you're super profitable, right? But you're also probably time poor as shit because in order for you to generate that much revenue, you need to be probably seeing 120 hours of clinical care, somewhere in that range. Maybe you have an admin that's helping you with that, hopefully at that point. But if you're doing it all by yourself, you're profitable and you can generate a lot of cash that way, which is fine. And it depends what your goals are. So let me give you a couple scenarios of why some people decide to stay here, at least for a while, some people indefinitely. So if you're seeing that kind of volume, let's call it 120 sessions a month, you're probably realistically working 60 plus hours per week from my experience. You got to, take into account your documentation, emailing back and forth with, clients, talking to prospective clients, doing all the marketing, the sales, you know, like reaching back out to people, all of this, you know, and representing your business in the community has to be added to your time when you're functioning basically in a business of one. Now, you might be bringing home $15,000 to $18,000 a month in revenue pre-taxes. And let me highlight that. Like the more that you bring home, the more taxes that you're going to have to pay on that, right? Versus if you're intentionally reinvesting your business some other way, that taxable amount goes down. But hopefully your revenue is going to go up because you're investing it effectively, most likely with employees and staff and probably marketing to start with. And some digital infrastructure is probably another place. But if you're not, let's say you're paying yourself $18,000 a month before taxes, that's a lot. I mean, that's a ton. And for some people, they stay here and they bust their ass and they work like 70 hours a week for a year, sometimes two. But they might have a reason why they want to do it, because they're basically bringing home all this additional revenue. They're working really, really hard. You know, they're basically working 1.5 to 2 times, you know, the what they did working for somebody else in terms of hourly output. But they might have the goal of paying off their student loans fast. We had somebody in our mastermind group that just did this over the last year. I think he paid off like $40,000 of student loans that he still has like $10,000 left, but he stayed at this sort of busy time poor stage because his goal is to pay off all of his debt first. And once he's done that, then he's going to start to build the company at this place where he feels much more comfortable. That's a personal decision. You don't necessarily have to go that route. I think it's just like, you know, it's a conservative financial decision, which is fine, because if you don't feel comfortable with where your business is going, you're going to not feel that comfortable really diving into some of the things you have to do where there is more risk when you bring other people into the company. So that might be a goal for somebody that wants to stay at that point and really just generate a bunch of, you know, excess cash, but also know that it's all on them, right? So like, here's sort of a barometer. If you go out of town for 2 weeks, like how much revenue is your clinic generating while you're gone? If the answer is basically zero to, you know, maybe a little bit because you have some recurring payments maybe for something you're still fulfilling on, then you don't have a business, you have a job. You can have a really profitable job and that's okay. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but what you have to be able to say is like, I'm doing this on purpose and this is why. So that's what we consider like a lifestyle business. And I've talked about this before. So your profit can be really, really high in these types of businesses, but you can also burn out quickly in these because you're so damn busy. You're doing everything. And it's also somewhat of a dangerous place to stay long term if you have a family. Like this is what got me. I was in this place for probably a solid year. And then I got pretty sick. I don't really ever get sick, especially not for more than like a day. And I was sick for like 2 weeks and I had to cancel all these patient visits. And at the time that was like probably $9,000-$10,000 a month in revenue that I had to, you know, not bring in those 2 weeks because I was sick. I couldn't see people. I didn't want to get them sick. So, you know, for me, I was generating a lot of revenue. I was making a lot of profit. We were building up, you know, like our business, cash reserves, but I still had a job and it was a pretty sketchy place to stay long term. Because like, what if I got really hurt? What if I got really sick? And we see this stuff happen to people. It's not happened to me, but some good friends of mine have had things that have happened to them that they didn't expect, their spouse, to themselves. You just don't really know. And that's kind of scary to think about. So once you go from this stage of you're really time poor, but you're very profitable, ideally, hopefully, you have save, you know, like maybe you've paid off debt, whatever, but you've saved a cash reserve in your business that at this point is going to allow you to springboard into what we consider a real business where you start to bring on infrastructure. Now that might be starting with a virtual assistant, that might be administrative in house if you have space for them. It might be a staff a staff clinician. Whatever it is, traditionally, usually it's going to be admin followed by, you know, clinical staff, where somebody else can start to fulfill on generating revenue via your services that you provide, you know, whatever those might be. Now, here's what happens when you go that route. When you go to bring other people on, you cannot maintain the same amount of profit that you're generating yourself, excuse me, per dollar. So let's say, you know, you make $20,000 in a month and you pay yourself, let's just say 16. Okay, that means that you have 20% of what you're making that's going to your overhead and these expenses that you have, whether it be marketing or your location or whatever, like fixed costs, right? Versus when you go to bring somebody else on, like that way you're in an 80% gross profit standpoint, meaning 80% of what you make, you get to take home in some capacity. You still got to pay taxes on it, but like that's your money. Now, if you go to bring somebody else on, there's no way in hell you can maintain 80% profit margins in this type of a business because you have to pay that person, right? You have to pay them what they're worth. And if you're going to pay somebody, you know, the salary of a good staff clinician, you're not going to have 80% margins on that, right? Like, let's say they generated $200,000 in revenue for your clinic, you would only be paying them $40,000 a year. Like, there's no way somebody's going to stay around for that for net, you know, revenue of what you're generating. It just doesn't work out, right? Like, you're going to have to pay them a good amount more than that. And that's where you start to see your profitability go down. But it changes from active revenue to passive revenue. And this is really a transition that is pivotal in a business to create safety for you, but also to create scale, okay? So when we look at scale, really, you can only see a certain number of people. Now, that in order to increase your revenue, if you're not going to bring anybody else on, you basically have to just charge more and more and more and more, or get more and more efficient in order to do so. And that's still going to be finite. There's just a finite amount of time versus when you can leverage other people's time as part of your company, that allows you to scale by providing more available hours, you know, at the price point that you charge, which lets your business generate more gross revenue, and you pay somebody less salary than what they're generating for your company. And I know people are like, oh, you should pay them, you know, whatever, the whole amount. That's not a fucking company. That's just like giving somebody a job, and you're robbing yourself of the ability to then reinvest in that person and your company to create stability. It's not a stable place to be. As an employee, it's just impossible. If somebody generates you $200,000, you can't pay them $200,000 for a lot of reasons. Number one, maybe you're paying for their healthcare. You have benefits for them. Also, there's something called taxes. It's called payroll taxes. For every person that you have that you employ, you have to pay like an additional 8%, somewhere in that range of per dollar that they bring in just to have them as an employee. You may not know that, but that's an employer is paying money to have you around. They're paying for your Con Ed. They're paying for your, you know, like I said, insurance. They're paying for not health insurance, but your actual liability insurance in the facility. They're paying for you to do a lot of things within the company to help solidify a position where the goal is you make profit on top of whatever they're paying you so that that can stabilize the company, be reinvested in the company, and scale to more people or provide more opportunity for those people that are there. And even still, you shouldn't, even if you're just by yourself, it's not the smartest idea to pay yourself everything that you bring in. Like, if you just pay yourself everything and you spend it all in a silly way, what happens if you have a couple bad months? You're screwed, right? Like, in order to have a safe business, you have to have cash reserves, you have to have profitability, and you have to have people that are working within the company that are making more gross revenue than what you're paying them. That's a business. That's how it works. That's how we create jobs for other people. And the goal is you get to create really cool jobs that people enjoy, not jobs that they dislike and they get depressed thinking about going to and seeing 20 plus Medicare and work comp patients that they want nothing to do with. Right? That's the position that we get to put ourselves in. And you can't do that if you don't scale past yourself. So profitability goes down, but gross revenue goes up. So this is where the understanding of the two is important. So if we say, okay, we want to incentivize, you know, with like a badge or whatever, we have name tags of different colors. We want to incentivize people to get to $500,000 in revenue. One of the reasons that that's there, like, you might be able to get to 250 if you're booking it by yourself, maybe one like virtual assistant, something like that. No way you can get to 500,000 with the service type that we have. And I mean, I take that back. Unless you're charging like $500 to $1,000 a visit, you know, maybe you have these like packages that you can sell and you sell your ass off. maybe you can get there, but it's highly, highly unlikely that you can get to a $500,000 gross revenue business, so top line revenue, not bringing home that much revenue, but get to that point without additional staff in place that are employees that you have to pay. So one of the reasons why we do this is because we want to see people build these mature businesses that put them in a safer position where if they get sick, if they get hurt, there's still revenue coming in the company where everybody's jobs are safe and you're still getting paid from that, and you put yourself in a very insulated position. The other thing that's important about this is the fact that if you really look at the goal of a business, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but you should build your business in a way where you have something that's tangibly able to be sold or acquired by somebody else because of how well it's run, how hands-off it can be, how sellable it may be. And you may have no intentions whatsoever of selling it. But if you build a business that way, you could do that one day. You could sell it. You could sell it to your employees. You could have an exit strategy. But if everything is intertwined with you and everything that you do, you don't have anything because no one can buy you. I guess they could, but you'd have to stick around. But then you're just employed by somebody else. And if you've been doing something on your own for long enough, you'd be a miserable person to employ. Like, you wouldn't just, would be a really bad employee like myself. I would be such a bad employee at this point. I don't think anybody would want to hire me. And I wouldn't take a job just because I know I wouldn't work out well. And this is where you have to decide you want to go, right? Maybe you want to just keep super, super high profit margins. You want to bust your ass. You want to get to a point where you've saved enough money and you've then invested it in other things that create passive revenue for you. You know, maybe you just take everything that you make, you pay off all your debt, then you buy, you know, your house outright, and then you buy some rental houses. You get to a point where you have enough cash flow from that, but then, yeah, you're sort of managing rental properties and you have passive revenue from that. You've put yourself in a place where it's not 100% tied to your business. Okay, cool. That's one scenario. You could go that route, or you could decide you want to build your business by hiring staff, building systems, scaling your revenue, and then being able to take a step back in terms of actual day-to-day clinical care, become more of the person that runs the business, you know, as a business owner, and then you have something that isn't just based off of your efforts. But there's an inverse relationship between how hands-off something is and profitability, right? This is why something like, you know, consultants, if you're a direct consultant, you know, let's say you make $20,000 a month as a consultant going in and talking to people about their IT, whatever, issues in their company. Well, that person makes a lot of money, right? They make $240,000 a year, but it's all directly based on them going places, fulfilling on the work, and doing it. And if they're intentionally doing that and they're okay with it, that's fine. That's a lot of money. It's a ton of money. You know, I can imagine spending that much in a year, but it's still a job. Like, you have a job, you know, you do not have a business. You may have a company with a logo on it, but it unless there's a dollar, just even a dollar of passive revenue being generated, you know, you do not have a job, or you have a business, you have a job, and it could make you a lot of money, but it's also somewhat of a sketchy place to be if something was to happen to you, right? So understand gross revenue, profit, the difference between the two, and that there's always going to be a reverse relationship between the more people you bring on to scale your gross revenue, to take yourself out of that business, the less your net profit is going to be, but the more passive it becomes. So the real question is, you know, would you rather have $200,000 of revenue, active revenue, where, you know, you're doing everything, or would you rather have $100,000 of passive revenue where you're basically, you know, managing a business 10 hours a week? Which one would you rather have? And the answer, there's no right answer. It could be different for different people and where they're at within their life, their goals, lots of things. But I think it's much harder to get to a point where you have half as much passive revenue being generated as active revenue that you could generate yourself, because it requires you to be able to build an actual company, you know, from a traditional brick and mortar standpoint. So I hope this makes sense. This is something that I wish somebody would have explained to me whenever I had just started out, you know, in my business. And I just thought, oh man, I'm just going to scale my revenue, you know, as much as I can. And I'm never going to hire anybody because I just want to be as profitable as possible. Yeah. Until I get sick, you know, or, hey, you break your hand, or, hey, maybe you tear your bicep tendon like somebody in our mastermind did. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're turning away patient visits because they physically can't do it. And a lot of their, you know, family, financial, you know, livelihood is based on this person's company, which is basically just him. And there's very little passive element to it. So he gets hurt. That sucks. What if something really bad happens? That's what, you know, I was always aware of. And I never wanted to put our family in a position, you know, like that. So for me, I made a conscious decision to scale past myself. For you, that might not be what you want, and that's fine. But at least you have, you know, now you should know the difference between, you know, your revenue, your top line, bottom line revenue, and that there's going to be a significant difference between the two as you decide you want to bring other people on to create passive revenue versus just active revenue within your company. Whew, that's a lot. Hopefully, I didn't lose everybody. I know this is a lot of numbers. It's a lot of financial jargon, I guess is a good way to put it. I'm not the most intelligent human being, by the way. So if I can understand this stuff, anybody can get it just via reps and understanding what's going on, you know, on paper with your business. And really, that's what it is. Just take a look at where you're at. Take a look at what your goals are. And then just decide what type of business do you want to build. Do you want to build a lifestyle business where it's just you? Or do you want to build a true business where you can take a step out of it, potentially have something to sell or to create a passive element in your life, or as active as you want it to be. You know, if you really enjoy being there every single day, you can do that as well, but at least you have that option to do so. So I hope this helps. Guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. We'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.